Well, if you don't know me, my name is Pastor David, and this fall we are going through a sermon series called Core Beliefs. We're talking about some of the foundational things that we believe as Christians and as a church. So today, to start us off, if you could throw the discussion question up on the screen, we're going to break into groups of about 6 to 8 people, and we're going to talk about what's going to be taught today. Here's a question for you. What is something that you do or have done that makes you feel full of life or full of joy? What are the things that fuel you? So go for it right now. Meet the neighbors around you. Gather into circles. Vote someone up as a leader. And talk about what are the things in life that fuel you. Now, this fall we're going through a series we're calling Core Beliefs. And we want to talk about some of the things that we believe as Christians and set a foundation of who we are. And I don't know exactly where all of you are coming from, but maybe you believe Jesus is the way, but you still feel lost. Maybe you've read that he is the truth, but you find it hard to discern, especially in today's political climate, what actually is true. And maybe you believe he is the life, but you struggle in your everyday to find the life that he has for you. Because every storm keeps you running, every voice in your heart claims to be true, every battle that takes place in your mind just leaves you dazed and confused. And this is where the enemies of the kingdom of God would love us to remain, in a state where we know little of what God has said, leaving us captive to our thoughts and our imaginations, robbing us from not only having a strong foundation, but even the revelation of what it is that we are meant to be building. So as a church, and as your pastor, I want to set you up with a foundation that no storm will prevail against. And a heart that can test its thoughts and attitudes by being confirmed or corrected through the knowledge of God. And I want us to share a belief right down to the core of who you are. And look at the large number of damaged and collapsed lives in today's church. If we see that as a testimony to the pressing need to once again build a strong foundation. I want to read a verse for you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 47. I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, then follows it. It's like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. This is who we want to be, right down to the core, to the center of who we are, with a strong foundation to build our lives on listening and following Jesus' teaching. So over this fall season, we're going to walk through a few of these core beliefs, and we're going to set a foundation of who we are and what the church is built on. Every week, we've invited someone different from the congregation to come and speak into this. And this week, I'm blessed to announce Virginia. Come on up here. She's going to lead us today in the topic of be filled with the Spirit. And if you know Virginia, this is close to our heart. Every one of our meetings that we gather together, she says, whoa, 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 whoa. It's great that we're planning this, but we need to remember that the Spirit is the one who leads us. So I'm excited that you are the one who gets to share this topic, and I'm excited to learn and hear from what God has taught you. So before we begin, can I pray for you?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Jesus, thank you for Virginia, that you have led her to you. That's where it all starts, that you've filled her to overflowing with your Spirit, enough that the rest of us can see it. So would you take her words, take what you've given her, and give it to us as well. To take that anointing of the Spirit and spread it to our church family as a whole. And the words that she gives would give us life because they're from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
So my name is Virginia, and I've been coming to Five Corners for about the last 5 years. By leading worship is my husband Tim here. We have just a couple kids that run around here, the most well-behaved ones, of course. So I spent a lot of time just praying and reading the Bible and listening to what the Holy Spirit was saying about what I should share here today. And the topic was being filled with the Spirit, which is one thing that's just really close to my heart because of the whole journey that I've seen through my life of the work of the Holy Spirit. And yeah, I'm just going to take a moment just to pray myself. God, I just thank you that you're here right now, that your spirit is in me, is in us, and in this place. And Father, may I just speak the words that you would like to speak for us. Would our hearts be open to receiving to what you want to teach us, and maybe each be touched and filled with your spirit, and to seek after you and what you have to give us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, in my head, I never wanted to preach, but over the years and through prophetic words given to me and dreams that I've had, and just oftentimes I'll just be quiet by myself, like washing the dishes, and in my head, I'll be like preaching these messages, and the Holy Spirit is like, I've called you to preach and to share my word. And so eventually I went and asked Pastor David, because I really felt the Holy Spirit pushing me, and asked him if I could have an opportunity to share. So this isn't something that I'm great at, but rather it's something that I feel called to walk in obedience in the Holy Spirit to do. And as I was looking at this message, I kept being sent back to Acts chapter 9. So if you have your Bibles or your phones, whatever, if you want to open up, it talks about the story of the conversion of Saul, or Paul. I mean the same person. And we see that at the beginning, in verse chapter 1, it says, "Now Saul was still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, and went to the high priest. And he asked for letters from him and from the synagogues in Damascus, so that he could go and seek out and find those men and women belonging to the way, that he might bring them back bound in chains back to Jerusalem. But as he was traveling, it happened that as he was approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven came and shone all around. And Saul fell to the ground, and he heard a voice to him saying, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and there you will be told what it is that you should do.' So Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing, and they led him back and brought him to Damascus. And there for 3 days he had no sight and ate or drank nothing." So I want to just jump ahead. You know, the Holy Spirit appears to Ananias and says, "Go lay hands on him, pray for him. I've chosen him to be my voice to the Gentiles." So when we jump down to verse 17, "So Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road from which you're coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and may be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales. He regained his sight. He got up and was baptized, and he took food and was strengthened. Then for several days he stayed with the disciples who were in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, 'He is the Son of God.'" So you have somebody that at the beginning thought he was doing the right thing following God. We see this in his letters later. But he was binding in chains and apparently even murdering believers. And then he, though, went and he had a vision, or he saw Jesus appear to him. He saw Jesus before him. Jesus appeared to him in this light, so much so he fell off his horse, fell to the ground. He heard the voice of Jesus speak to him. And he went back to the room. But the part that stood out to me is he saw Jesus. And at that moment, he believed in Jesus. There was no doubt. So that was the moment of, you know, you're saved if you receive, if you believe and call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So at that moment, he saw and believed in Jesus Christ. But he was still in that room, not seeing, not eating, not drinking, not doing anything. And what we see where he got up and began to proclaim the gospel was when Ananias went to him and laid hands on him and prayed for him, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And the part that stood out to this passage from day and night, from him being someone murdering the disciples to being someone who was in this room and couldn't even eat or drink, they were just so overcome, to someone who a couple days later is proclaiming the gospel, the key point that I kept seeing in this verse is when hands were laid on him and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And you can see this over and over again in the New Testament. You can go and see even when the disciples themselves were equipped. It's like this pinnacle moment that when they were filled with the Spirit, that's when the transformation happened. Now, of course, the first step is when we're saved, but what transformed them to be Jesus Christ, what transformed them to become alive and have these dynamic ministries and be alive in the Holy Spirit and have a vibrant, breathing relationship where you could see Christ in them was when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And a good example of that is Jesus' disciples walked with him for 3 years, and they did cast out demons. They did preach the gospel. But if you go and look in Acts chapter 2, in verse 1, Jesus, keep in mind, Jesus had just died and rose again. He appeared to them, so they believed. They were saved at this point because Jesus has appeared to them, right? So they're saved. It's not like they're thinking, oh, is he still dead? No, he appeared, they touched his hands, and he had actually ascended to heaven, but still they were up in this upper room, maybe like a room like this. I think there's about 120 of them, and they were fearful, and they were hiding because they were worried what was going to happen. They probably a few of them tried a few things in their own strength, but just, it was so inadequate that it's not even recorded in the Gospels. But then we read in chapter 2 in Acts, it says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there from the heaven, a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues of fire distributing themselves, and they rested upon each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. And then the verse goes on to say that they started sharing the gospel with people from all the nations all around that were outside. And Paul gives this speech, and I think at the end of the chapter, 5,000 were added to their number. And the key changing point, yes, for us personally, is salvation when we believe in Christ. But the key transformational point on our walk with Christ and what transforms us to in turn see the transformational ministry around us is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Because we see that Jesus actually told his disciples in okay, so my notes are kind of a mess. But Jesus told his disciples in John, in one of the chapters and verses, if you want to know, come ask me after, I'll find it. He said, it's actually better for you if I leave and the Holy Spirit comes to you. So I was thinking, like, how cool would it be if right now Jesus Christ was with you, talking with you, walking among you? But his own words actually said to his disciples, it's better for you if I leave and the Holy Spirit comes to you. And I was looking at the verse in Ephesians 5:18, where it says, do not be drunk with wine that leads to sin, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I started wondering, because I keep seeing this theme, like baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. What is the word filled? What is it really saying? Because if you said you're thirsty, and I like pour you a glass of water and give it to you. But when you look at the Greek word for filled here in Ephesians 5:18, it's a word called pleroo, and it actually means to fill to the full, to cause to abound, to overflowing, to supply liberally, to fill to the top so that there's nothing left that can be filled, and that there's nothing left that's wanting, to render full. So I almost thought that I would bring a big jug here, but then I thought that doesn't even work because it's a hose. Like the Holy Spirit is an unending source of water. But what being filled with the Holy Spirit's talking about is not like a one-time little thing, like here's a little drink and I'll give it to you and hope your thirst is satisfied. But it's like a full-on infilling. The word pleroo is a total filling to overflowing, where it fills everything that's in and around it. And when we have this infilling of the Holy Spirit, it's a life-changing experience. Just, you can see this with Paul. You can see this with the early church. You can see it, if you've experienced this, you can see it back into your own life. With my own life, I, from a young age, asked Jesus into my heart and believed in him. But when I was 17, I remember there was worship and going before him and just crying out to him, fill me with your spirit. And in that moment, he filled me, so filled to overflowing that I saw him. I knew him. I felt his presence. And in that moment, I could speak in this language that I didn't understand, that was my spirit directly communicating with his spirit. And the thing that's so powerful about being filled with the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So it's not like you're being filled with a substance. It's not like you're being filled with water. It's not like you're being filled with an anointing, but you're actually being filled with the Spirit of God himself. And I think this is why this is so crucial and such a cornerstone in our walk, in our relationship with Christ, because it isn't that we get saved and now I'm here and I'm just struggling. Can I make it? Life is hard. I'm worn out. But rather, we've received this gift and this promise of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And when I was 17, and other people, when you share about them, when they're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's a transformational moment. At that point, I knew I belonged to him. I knew him. I knew I was his. And he called me, and I gave everything to him and said, I'm going to follow you every day of my life. And that still fuels who I am and what I do. But it wasn't just that one-time moment of that infilling, because what the verse is talking about in Ephesians is you can be continually filled to overflowing with the Spirit, which is the Spirit of God. And that's where the whole crux, I think, the whole cornerstone of what the Christian life is it's not something dry. It's not something we attempt to do on our own. It's not a bunch of rules that we follow. It's not, have I done my devotions and read the scriptures? It's not, have I gone to church? But it's to be filled with the Spirit of God himself, who saved us to know us and be known by us. And when we're filled with that Spirit, that's when it all becomes alive. And that's why I asked that first question. What is it that brings you, makes you feel full of life? Those times, and I've had experiences since then when I pray and I can feel like that hose analogy, just being filled to the top with the Holy Spirit. When that happens, I know more about Jesus Christ. I get a glimpse of how much I've loved by him, who he is, what he's called me to do, what he's equipped me to do. And then with that, what I have filled, it goes and it overflows to those people around me. The Christian ministry is not, I'm getting up the gumption, I'm going to hand you a track, but it's sharing the Spirit himself, who is God himself, with those around us, that flows out of a changed and transformed life. This is why I think when you read the New Testament over and over again, the part that I kept coming to with the infilling of the Holy Spirit, with being baptized by the Holy Spirit, was that was the moment that somebody went from I believe to I am transformed. And you can see it. People can see it. People know it. That person is ministering. That person is living. That person is loving because they are so full and know God himself, who is the source and the equipper of everything that we have. Another example of this is Cornelius. You see with Cornelius, it actually praises him in the Bible. Cornelius is, it talks about him in chapter 11 in Acts. It praises him in the Bible. It actually says he was a man of faith. He gave to the poor. He did good works. But he knew that there was more, so he calls Peter to come. And Peter comes over, and there's a whole story. There's this, like, where now they realize, the new church, that the gospel's not just for the Jews, but it's for the Gentiles, it's for everyone. And so Peter comes and shares the gospel with him, and they believe. But then they're astounded, because what happens is the Holy Spirit falls upon him and his household. And they begin to praise God, and they begin to speak in tongues, and they're transformed. And we see this story over and over again in the New Testament. You can see this story over and over again when you talk to people that you know have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the living, breathing, powerful Spirit of God himself. And he lives in us, and he's what brings us life. When we're full of the Holy Spirit, he transforms us to be more and more like Jesus, not because we're trying in our own strength to be him, but when we're in him and with him and full of him, we become more like him. Being filled with the Holy Spirit brings us into deeper intimacy with Jesus Christ, because he's in us, and he reveals himself to us, and we're in that presence, and we see him too, and we love him more, and that brings the relationship with us deeper. He empowers and equips us in every way to live out and reach the gospel. Again, we go back to Saul, and what he was doing in his own strength and what he thought was good, all he was actually was doing was murdering the church. But then, when he's filled with the Spirit, he's going out and he's sharing the gospel. He's seeing people come to Christ. And not just that, though, but you can see the evidence in the person's core being of who they are. If you look in Acts 13:52 with Paul, so he's now gone to some different places sharing the gospel, and he's now started to be persecuted. And they come to this place, I think it was Iconium, and they're basically kicked out. They're like laughed at, taunted. Remember Paul, he's been like, he's stoned, he's beaten. But it says that in the midst of this persecution, the act it actually says in verse 52, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and full of joy. So the equipping of the Holy Spirit isn't something that happens on Sunday or isn't just something nice that happened one time in my testimony, but it's to be an ongoing, continual process and experience for us as believers, because that is what brings the life and the joy to the relationship. Yes, we need the scriptures and we need to read it, but at the end of the day, this is a book. The Spirit is a living, breathing, alive God himself that lives in us. So when we're filled with the Spirit, that's what it means to be really alive, because we were created. We were designed. When God designed human beings, he created and designed us to have a relationship with us. And then when that got messed up by Adam, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us so that we could have eternal life with him, because the whole point was he wants to have that full, intimate relationship with us. And we have the mandate and the calling as his ambassadors here on earth that while we're here, that we're to share that good news of that relationship with those around us. And the Holy Spirit empowers us to do and equips us to do that. So it's about a living, dynamic relationship. It's not about rules. It's not about a religion. It's not about I did this thing one time. But it's a whole, your whole new creation. It's a whole new way of life. And to be filled with the Spirit is to really be alive. When we're baptized with the Holy Spirit, the reason it changes us is because that's what brings life to us. When we go before him and we're filled more with the Holy Spirit, filled to the brim, that's what makes us feel alive, because that's what our life is. That is our life. Our life is him. And it's not just some promise in heaven someday, but it's for here and now. Jesus talked over and over and over again that my kingdom is coming here to earth. And so that's what he meant. It's the here and now the Holy Spirit equips us for, transforms us for, and knows us. When you look at, I hear this a lot. I don't really read the news, but you can't really get away from it. I mean, really, you just have to read the news to hear how much doom and gloom is in this world. The whole world system, it's such a mess. And if you were to focus on that, it just leads to hopelessness. It leads to despair. But I know, because I've seen it, and I've heard God speak that to me, and I see the promises in the scripture. I know that God is pouring out his Spirit now, here and now. He has called us here and now to be filled with him so that we can live a life like what the scriptures talk about, full of joy, knowing the peace that passes understanding, knowing who Christ is, and knowing him intimately, to be baptized and equipped by the Spirit so that we have the gifts that equip us to be able to do this, like speaking in tongues, like prophesying, like healing, like miracles, like evangelism, like sharing the gospel, but not so that we can pursue the gifts or blessings or feel better, but so that we can know him and be known by him and to share that message with those people around us. And I want to look at in Acts chapter 2. So I shared at the beginning how when the Holy Spirit fell upon the 120 believers and the 12 disciples, that they began to speak in tongues and they began to prophesy, and they were filled with a boldness and they were filled with a life that came from the Holy Spirit residing in them. And Paul got up and Paul spoke. And this is as much of a promise for us today, right here and now, as it was for them. And in Acts 2, 17 and 18, Paul speaks to what Joel spoke of centuries ago. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men will see dreams. Even upon my bondservants, both men and women, I will pour, in those days, I will pour forth my spirit, and they will prophesy. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So this is the promise. And this is the movement of the Holy Spirit that's happening right now. I am tired. I am so tired of hearing how bad things are now. And we're just going to wait around. We're going to sit around. Maybe there'll be a revival in 10 years. Maybe there was a revival 200 years ago. We should talk about that. This happened in the past. Maybe that'll happen in the future. What the Holy Spirit is doing today is what I want to be involved with. And I know today that he has filled me with the Holy Spirit and equipped me with the Holy Spirit and to call me with the Holy Spirit to go forth and walk in that and be alive and show that and share that to people around me. Yes, this world right now is broken. This world right now is full of sin. This world right now is hurting. But each one of you, we see in Ephesians that the gift of the Holy Spirit is for each person who believes in Jesus Christ. And if you're here today right now and you don't know Jesus Christ, in a few minutes we're going to take some time to talk and pray in our small groups. Talk to somebody in your small group that you know is a believer and ask them how you can ask Jesus Christ to save you, because that is the first step. But if you are saved here right now, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, like I've been talking about, is for you. There is not a single believer that is exempt from this gift. And if you haven't experienced that, or you're not sure if you have, ask one of the people in your group to pray for you to receive that. And if you have been filled with the Holy Spirit, pray for one another that you'll be more filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is what brings us life. The Holy Spirit is what brings us everything that God designed and created us to be and to have. So if you're going through a time right now where you're feeling worn out or you're feeling dry or you're not sure what to do, pray and ask for to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's to be an ongoing process that touches every single aspect about us. And it's a promise for you here, right now. Jesus didn't call us to limp along, but to live transformative, powerful lives for him, knowing him intimately and deeply. He created you to share the gospel, the transforming gospel, and his love with those around you. And what he's doing right now, Heavenly Father, right now, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you would open up our eyes to the work of the Spirit and the movement of the Spirit that's happening here right now among us. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that you would transform us, that you would baptize us with your Spirit, and that we would feel an excitement, a passion from the Spirit in our own spirits about connecting with you and being part of what you've called us to do here in this world, right here and right now. Because we know that right now you're moving, and we know that there is more and more outpouring of your Spirit that's going to happen, more and more movement of the Holy Spirit, more and more people coming to Christ, more lives transformed. But I ask you right now, as this gathering of people, as we're together, I know your Holy Spirit's here. I just ask right now, as we break up and separate into our groups, Father, that we would take some time not just to talk and share about our week or our plans for later today, but that we would lay hands on one another and pray for one another, that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And those that haven't been baptized with the Spirit or haven't been filled with the Spirit, Father, that they would receive that now in the name of Jesus Christ. That your Spirit that would transform us, the living, breathing, all-powerful Spirit of God himself would fill us and would transform us individually and as a church body. and that we would walk full of your Spirit and full of excitement and passion for the next step that you have called us together to do here in this town and in this world. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you want to break up into groups of whatever, 5, 6, 7, 8 people, I really encourage you, this gift of the filling of the Holy Spirit is for each one of you, and that's what transforms and changes you. That's what is the breath to the Christian life. So pray for one another right now that you would be filled more with the Holy Spirit, or if you haven't experienced that, that you would be filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit. So if we can take some time, instead of doing so much talking today in our small groups, if we could take some time to really pray for one another, that would be what I really am feeling, where the Holy Spirit's leading us right now. And if anybody wants to talk with me or doesn't know Christ and wants to pray about that, come talk to me, or Pastor David's back there, or anybody in your group. But yeah, thanks. So go ahead and do that, I guess. No, don't clap.